today that will open hearts. I believe, Father, words that will give direction and answers. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're a better Pentecostal than that. Jesus! Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going through the Christmas story. Last week, Sherry spoke, but the week before I spoke, and we were going through, Tammy's here. Did you see that? Hey. You know, when our kids come home from out of state. Hey. Okay, sorry. Okay, focus, Misty, focus. All right. We're going through the Christmas story, and we're talking about the times angels would show up during the Christmas story. And 2 weeks ago when I spoke, we talked about the angel Gabriel, who showed up to... Good. Somebody reads their Bible. Thank you. All right. So the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary in the Christmas story. And what do angels always, somewhere in their first sentence, always say? Fear not. So they must be incredible. So the angel showed up and said, fear not. And that week we talked about the fear sometimes we have when God calls us to do things. This week we're going to talk about our main characters are the shepherds, all right? And we're going to talk about the fear not of the shepherds when the angel shows up. And, I'm distracted with a piece of paper, sorry. Stay focused, okay. Now the fear that I want to talk about is the fear that the angels have, and it's a fear sometimes many, many people have. And it's the fear of, oh my, where do I stand with God? Where do I go when I give this last breath? And a lot of times people have that fear. Now, if you're really honest and you have a quiet moment, that might hit you. And it actually did, especially remember as a child. How many of you remember the little kid's prayer that was taught back in my day? And it was a little cute prayer until you got to this one part. And it would just creep me out and scare me. All right. Carol, you want to toss that? Oh, that's not Carol. Who's that guy back there? Brian, you want to toss that up? All right. we're going to go through this prayer. And we get to that part that you think a little child might get creeped out and scared. Raise your hand. Okay. Raise your hand. Or it was just me. But I would get to this part. Ready? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now remember, you're going to raise your hand when you get to that creepy, scary part, right? Ready? If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay, you're 4 years old and it's dark and your mommy's praying this prayer with you. That used to freak me out. Anybody else? Okay, now thank goodness I didn't teach that to my kids. But as a kid, I would get into this fear. If I die, God, you're going to take my soul? Are you pleased? So come here, 4 years old. 4 years old. Stuck, all right? Now, okay, so I got a little older and I kind of smushed that aside. But it was still there. And it was still there, and it really hit me big. It was the evening my brother was killed. I had a twin brother. I have a twin brother. He's just changed planets here. I had a twin brother who was killed by a drunk driver. And I was actually here at York College, and I'm from North Jersey. So I quickly went home, and I'm laying in the top bunk of my bed, and I'm doing my Hail Marys and Our Fathers. And finally, I just said, forget that. And I started talking to God. And then it hit me. If I should die, where do I stand with God? And fear of where I stood with God. So today, we're going to go through the Christmas story, and I believe what the words that God has given me this morning will help all of you that have ever had that, where do I stand with God? So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to take off where the kids left off. Okay? So we're looking at another Fear Not Angel story. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read 8
through 11. And I'm reading out of the NIV just because it was sitting around in the throne and I grabbed it. So that's where we're reading from. You ready? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Fear not," the King James, or this one says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news." Good news translates the gospel. That's the good news, okay? "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ. He is the Lord." Amen. Okay, so what's the good news? A Savior is born to you, all right? Now, what I really find interesting in this story is who the angels announce this to. Who the angels come and announce this to. Now, let me give you a little background. Back in Jesus' day, if whenever a family gave birth to a child, if they had the means and they could financially afford this, they would hire, how do you like the job? Hire a herald. A herald. So you know the song, Herald? Okay, I'm not singing. All right. So they would hire a herald to announce the child's birth. Now, nowadays, what do? We say yes, or we tie pink balloons on the mailbox, or blue balloons, all right? And we send out these announcements, and we announce the birth of a child, right? Okay? So, but Jesus' day, they would hire a herald to announce, all right? And the herald would just go around telling everybody, "Mr. and Mrs. Smith had a boy." Now, if this was the firstborn and it was a son, there was great blessings and people were really excited because that meant the family name was passed on. So they were like, super. They got 5 balloons at the mailbox, okay? So a herald would announce the birth of a child. A herald. Okay, now this is exactly what God does. He sends an angel to herald or announce the birth of a child, right? Now, that's called the good news, right? Now, it's really interesting. It still gets me is who God sent the angels to. Who God sent the angels to. Who God sent the angels to. All right, now, think about it. If the Son of God was going to be born on the earth, probably the most historical event that ever was going to happen, right? And who do you think God would announce this to? Anybody have a thought? I would think it should be somebody maybe really famous. How about kings? Oh, wait a minute. The king back then, not a good idea, right? I read the Bible. All right. How about, come on. It should go to the religious people. They've been waiting and studying, right? Oh, wait a minute. We know about those guys, right? So who did God announce this to? A bunch of shepherds. A bunch of shepherds, okay? Now, you come into my house and on the mantle this year, I kind of move it around my house, is my nativity scene. So of course, I have shepherds and sheep, so of course I'm thinking, well, duh, you announced it to the shepherds. Duh, look at my nativity scene. Okay, but let me give you some background on why this is who? Who? Okay, way back in the day, if you were a shepherd, it was actually a very noble profession. Matter of fact, all the patriarchs of old, Moses, Abraham, starting with Abel, David, were shepherds. So it was pretty cool. But as the society grew and people became more farmers, not so much this shepherds, it became not such a great profession. All right? So by the time we hit Jesus' day, the shepherds are really a very disrespected group of people. very low looked upon group of people, all right? Now, the job of being a shepherd was so low that if you were a family that happened to have sheep, guess who got the job? The youngest son. Because, don't forget, they didn't get the big inheritance. Who got the big inheritance? Firstborn, oldest, male, right? So if you're like number 10 in the lineup, that's it, baby. That's all you got. Okay? Raise your hand if you're a firstborn son. Pat yourself on the back. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. But most often, if you were a shepherd, it was reserved for slaves. Okay. Also, shepherds were uneducated. All right. So that means they had no means of advancement in their career. They couldn't climb the ladder. They were uneducated. And to make matters worse, in the religious system, the religious world, all right, shepherds were always rejected. Now, wait a minute. Who did God herald this news to? All right. But in the religious world, shepherds were always rejected. One, the religious people would teach, actually teach. Turn to your Bible, turn to your page 101 and this today's lessons. Shepherds are not good enough for God. Shepherds cannot come in right standing with God. Because shepherds couldn't live up to all of our religious rules. Can you imagine? So it's no wonder they were always lived in fear of where they stood with God. How would you like to be programmed with that junk? All right? Now, because of all of that, thank you, the religious world, shepherds felt very distant from God. Can you get it? Very distant from God. And I'm going to give you three reasons why. If you're taking notes, get your pen ready. Here we go. Three reasons why shepherds felt distant from God. Number one, they felt very unworthy. Very unworthy. And you know, I run across people that feel the same way. They feel very unworthy when it comes to God. Okay, getting back to our shepherds though. Okay, shepherds were considered outcasts in Israel at that time. And one of the reasons is they were nomadic people. That means they traveled. Their job took them out of town. How many truck drivers do I have here? Your job takes you out of town for a week. Not anymore. Hallelujah, right? Okay, a week or 10 days or something like that. Well, shepherds, their job, like truckers, would take them out of town for weeks, possibly months. And because of that, guess what? They'd miss temple worship. And oh, that's a big no-no. And especially back when Jesus lived, worshiping God had to do everything about the temple. You had to go to the temple. That's how they figured you were worshiping God. All right? So, could the shepherds go? No, they're out of town. All right? So the religious people would just shame them. They would feel so unworthy because they couldn't meet that, all right, all because their job took them out of town. Now, shepherds, while they lived on the road, they didn't stay at the Holiday Inn. They lived with the sheep. They slept with the sheep. They had lunch with the sheep, all right? And if you hang out with sheep, guess what? You smell like a barnyard. Okay, and you probably on occasion step into poo-poo, sheep poo-poo, okay? And also you're touching these sheep, okay? And according to the religious society, you are now unclean. You're unclean because they don't have showers on the road, all right? So they feel highly unworthy, all right? Now, sometimes we can feel that way. Sometimes we can feel like that, okay? You come into church, you put on your big church smile. Let me see your big church face, everybody. Come on. Yeah. But the problem is you know how you messed up this past week. And you think, oh my gosh, How could God want me? I just feel unworthy. All right. I have slid into church. I usually hit the parking lot and try to get that out. But, and you know, especially on a today, everybody, oh, I love you people in red. Yep, yep. Okay. You all look so Christmassy, you know, and you're thinking, man, I almost threw my teenager out of the car because they mouthed off to me for the 100th time this morning on the way here. If my arm was a little bit longer, and then you come to church and you go, oh, man. Okay? Or, this was my classic, hurry up, guys, let's go. Everybody in the car, everybody in the car, cut it out. Cut it out. Everybody just shut up and get in the car. We're going to worship Jesus and have a great Christmas, right, okay? Because I'm going ballistic berserk, okay? And you walk into church and you think, whew, not too good, huh? Yeah, you know? All righty, well, I've been there and done it, okay? And when that would happen, you walk in here and you go, man, I feel so unworthy. Well, that's how the shepherds felt. That's how the shepherds felt. So write that down. They felt very unworthy. Number two, if you're taking notes, ready? Shepherds felt very inadequate. Why? They were uneducated. And then they were poor on top of that. All right. As a matter of fact, I had so much fun the last 2 weeks looking at this up. At one place, one of the historian research said this. I thought, oh, unworthy. The status of a shepherd was the same status of a tax collector, which, by the way, was low, and the dung sweeper. The job of the people that swept poo, okay? They had the same status. You talk about feeling low and inadequate. All righty? Now, it's always amazing that we feel inadequate because we compare ourselves to other people. Anybody ever do that? I was listening to one of my kids this week, and they were comparing themselves to one of their other siblings who makes buku bucks, and it was time to buy Christmas presents, and I said to that person, what? Are you comparing yourself? Knock it off. Okay? We do that. Ladies. I don't know about you, but I remember I had this one friend, and since has moved away, but she invited me and my four kids to her house for lunch. And I walk into this house, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. Wow. You walk in, it smells like candles and flowers. And the floor is clean. And all their kids have their hair brushed, ponytailed, and braided. Remember, I had four kids. And then I go into my house, and it kind of smelled like laundry, socks, okay? All the time. And then I don't even remember what color the floor was. Are you kidding me? Four kids, juice, mop, mud, the whole thing. And it must be the year 2001, the last time I ever saw a brush. And I had three little girls. Okay? And I feel so inadequate when I'm at my friend's house. Because I'm comparing myself. Okay, now just to make sure you guys don't get off the hook here. How about guys? You live in the neighborhood where it looks like Hershey Lights. Everybody does it big. And this year you go, I'm not putting them up. And your kid says, Dad, what's wrong with us? And you make up this lie. Oh, we are saving money to give to the poor. We are so much more spiritual than the neighbors. Okay? And you feel like the worst dad. And you feel very inadequate. Anybody ever feel inadequate? Yeah, okay. So, by the way, it was too stinking cold the day we were supposed to put up lights, so there are none at my house. And the people on the right, now they all have nice lights, whatever. Okay. Even worse with the shepherds is they felt spiritually inadequate. Spiritually inadequate. And you know why? Because one of the big rules of their day is keep the Sabbath holy. You know what that means? Total rest. You cannot work on the Sabbath day. I would love that day. I'd love to wake up in the morning and say, sorry, off duty, not cooking, not cleaning, not doing anything. But their rules were that. And now, wait a minute. Shepherding. Take a whole day to rest. Shepherding, 24/7. Care for the sheep. Protect the sheep. Feed the sheep. 24/7. So they physically could not obey the rules. So they felt so inadequate spiritually by the religious. Thank you for the religious. Amen. Okay. Now, sometimes you can feel like that. I know, I remember at a time where I'd walk into church and I'd go, oh my gosh, everybody looks so spiritual. Every time I talk to them, they have a Bible verse for everything out of their mouth. And did you ever listen to them pray? And it's like, lightnings come down when they pray. And I'm thinking the last prayer is, God, kill the cat. It has just clawed my sofa again. And I feel so inadequate because that's my big prayer for the day. All right? I don't have a cat, by the way. But you got the point. Amen. All right, where are we? Number one or two? Two, unworthy. Okay, inadequate, right. Number three. If you're taking notes, number three, they felt very unloved. Shepherds felt very unloved. Now, in Jesus' day, the shepherds were looked upon like you would gypsies. Pastor D, we don't have gypsies around here. Yes, but in Europe they do. And what happens over there is they are like the low guys on the totem pole. They're thought of like they're dishonest people and thieves. Now, probably a bunch were, but now if you're a gypsy, they think of that of everybody. They think of, and also, this is the other thing. My brain, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, where is it? Anyway, so the gypsies are not looked upon very well. So the gypsies were like the Jewish people, how they thought about shepherds. They were the low man on the Jewish totem pole. They were poor, they were uneducated, because they never lived in town, they lived out in the field, they were isolated. And you know, when people don't hang out with you, you know there's something the matter with you, right? All right, and also this, I read this someplace, crack me up. If you were a shepherd, you were never asked to give a testimony in court. Because, you know all shepherds, they're a bunch of liars and thieves, all right? So there's great rejection, and they feel so unloved because all of that going on, I don't want to be with you. And people didn't want to be with them, all right? So, shepherds felt very unloved. And you know what? Sometimes we can feel very unloved. How about this? Your dad walked out when you were 5 years old, just hit the road and left you and mom. And all of a sudden, these thoughts go, what's the matter with me? How come dad left me and mom? Well, doesn't he love me? Very unloved. Or how about this? You're single now. Your spouse came in one day and said, hi, I don't love you no more. And you're going, wait, I did everything I could. What's the matter with me? Why doesn't he or she love me? All right? I feel very unloved. Amen. So shepherds felt like that, and sometimes we can. And you know what's even amazing about this is our perception versus what's reality. Our perception versus what's really real, such as, oh man, did you see Benny? Man, he looks like he's got it all together. He must have this wonderful family. Oh, because, you know, look at Benny. He sits on the third row, third seat, and only the holy sit up front. All right. And we start comparing ourselves and we think, oh man, I'm a mess up. I sit in the back row. All right. But listen, when you start doing that, you just think, you perceive, but you have no idea. There's a single mom sitting in this congregation and she's ready to throw the towel in. If it weren't for my kids, I'd not be here. Okay? Or how about the dad? There is so much just going on in his life. And this is the year that finances are down the toilet. And he feels so unworthy because he knows after the kids go back to school on Christmas, January, whatever, what does everybody say? Hey, Kathy, what'd you get for Christmas? And this guy feels so unworthy because he couldn't give his kids what he wanted to because they just didn't have it this year. He feels unworthy, inadequate, and unloved. All right? Okay. Bottom line, guys, guess what? Religion don't work. Religion don't work. Religion does not work for the shepherds, and religion doesn't work for us, does it? It doesn't work. All right. And I have grown up in a church that it was all about do's and don'ts. And that's what religion does. Do this. Don't do that. You do this and you feel good about yourself. And you don't do this. Okay. And then you feel good about yourself because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. All right. But then I think, well, hey, I'm a good person. I'm pretty good, you know? I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run around the girls that do. And you go, wow, I'm pretty amazing. I'm pretty amazing. And you guys that do, oh, Brenton, man, I am more holy than you because I obey more rules than Brenton. I'm a pretty good person. And you know what Jesus says? He says, I want to puke out of my mouth at you guys. I just want to vomit because the Pharisees, the religious, the religion back then and still today, it's all about, ooh, they're so filthy on the outside, you know, stay away from them. And you know, Jesus says, wait a minute. You know what he said to him? You are filthy on the inside. You got this all messed up. And that's why religion doesn't work. All right. And Jesus was adamant. He was kind of when he got to that. So religion doesn't work. And by the way, Christianity was not meant to be a religion. Amen? Amen. It was not meant to be a religion. It was meant to be a relationship. Amen. It was meant to be a relationship, not do, don't. Alrighty. So God sent his son, his name is Jesus, and that is the good news. It was good news to the shepherds, it's good news to me, it's good news to you. So what does this good news have to do with me personally? What does this good news have to do for me? Because I want to know what it's going to do for me. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to go over just a little scripture here, real simple, it's real clear. Romans chapter 3. Now, let me tell you about, I love giving you background, because sometimes you just read this and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. Now, before the Apostle Paul was a follower of Jesus, well, how did he think about Christians? What did he think about Christians? He hated them. He'd do anything in his power to kill him. He was like the leader and let's get Christians, okay? That was before Paul had an encounter with God and the love of God, right? So this now is written to this new guy who's had the love of God in his life transform him, okay? Romans 3, I'm going to read verse 20. And some other things. I don't know how far I'm going to go. All right, verse 20. For no one can be, let me see, no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing the law commands. I'm going to read that again. No one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what his law commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. But now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight, not by obeying the law, but by the way promised in the scriptures long ago. This is the best part. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take our sins away. And we all can be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we've done. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Okay, I don't want to go any farther, but that's, wow. Okay, now, I'm just going to break this down. And if you're taking notes, what is the good news? What is it all about? How does it fit me? What is its benefit? So number one, you cannot earn. I love it. You cannot earn God's acceptance by doing or trying to keep the law. Hallelujah. What a relief. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. Because verse 20 said, no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what his law commands. In other words, you can't be good enough trying to do all those laws, all right? And listen, for those shepherds, yes, that was good news. Whoosh, right? That was good news to those shepherds because they couldn't, right? Listen, back in the day, there were 613 laws that they were trying to do. All right? And then we kind of whittled it down to 10, and then Jesus made it down to 2. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. What a good thing. But listen, people try to do all those laws, and you can't, even if you wanted to try. So that was good news to the shepherds. Amen. And that's good news to us, right? If you're taking notes, number two, the purpose of the law. What is the purpose of that law, all right? To show you need a Savior. To show you are in need of a Savior. To show you and me, I need a Savior, all right? Verse 20, for no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what the law has commanded. So what's the law for? What's the law for? It was to show you, give you knowledge that you needed a Savior, that you weren't good enough. You could not be good enough. All right? So that's what the law is for. Everybody, what's the law for? To show you you're in need of a Savior. Okay. Now, the crazy thing in our society, people think I'm good. Not me, you. People walk around going, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. You know, I saw this little mommy with two babies in a stroller at the door, and I opened the door. I'm a pretty good person, right? And the guy that rings the bell, you know, the Salvation guy, I give money every time I pass him. I'm a pretty good person. How many of you are pretty good people? Yeah, I'm pretty good. Okay, but how many of you have ever done a little lie? Big lie. Don't raise your hand. All right. How many of you ever taken paper clips from work? That's called stealing, all right? So maybe, yeah, but Pastor D, are you kidding me? Compared to most people, I'm not that bad. And that's kind of the mentality that people have. I'm not that bad compared to them, right? But listen, the good news is compared to God's standard, we're all sinners. We're all mess ups. We're all compared to God's standards, and that's the only standard. Compared to God's standard, all right? So, wow, compared to God's standard, hallelujah. Now, the good news is I can't obey all those rules. I can't. And I need a Savior. And that is probably the most important thing. Because until you realize that you are a sinner, you're not going to realize you need a Savior. So am I beating on sin? Just this one time. Again, until you realize that you're a sinner, you're not going to realize you need a Savior. And His name is Jesus. So it is very important that you realize that. All right? So when we finally recognize, compared to God's standard, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. And now I recognize religion isn't helping me. I recognize that I need a Savior. So that's why that was good news to the shepherds. And it's still good news. So what is the good news? One, you cannot be good enough for God by obeying the law. Number two, what is the purpose of the law? To show us we're in need of a Savior. So the kicker where the fireworks go off is how? How can I be made right with God? How do I get right with God? How do I have a right stand with God? Well, number three, write this down. Righteousness with God is only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Righteousness with God, or our right, able to walk in the right way before God, is only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not Jesus plus religion makes me right. Because you just saw what a mess they did to those shepherds, right? It's not Jesus and religion. It's Jesus and nothing. It's Jesus and His righteousness that make me right. Amen? Amen. Okay. Verse 22. I want to read that. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we've done. No matter who we are or what we've done. Hallelujah. So the good news was to the shepherds. The good news is to Jews and Gentiles. The good news is to religious. The good news is still for the moral and the immoral. The good news is for me, and the good news is for you. Amen? So, suddenly, the angels appeared before the shepherds. The shepherds who the religious rejected. And the angel said, "Fear not. Good news to you. The Savior is born in the town of David, Bethlehem. And it's good news for all men." That's the good news. That's the good news. Amen? Now, I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how much you've messed up. It doesn't matter if you feel unworthy, if you feel inadequate, if you feel unloved and all alone. This is the good news. A Savior has come for you, and all you need to do is believe in Him. You don't have to do the do-dos and the don't-don'ts. You just believe in Him alone. Can everybody just bow your heads? We're going to pray. All right? Close your eyes. No peeking. I'm telling. All right? Father, we so thank you for the power of the gospel, the power of the good news that is still so powerful today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for your words of life and your love here today. And just if you've been here and you've just been struggling with fear, financial fear, financial fear, maybe a fear of a bad report that came from the doctors, or maybe your fear is OMG, family drama, Christmas, and you are just up to your eyeballs thinking about in fear. Today is a good day to cast all your cares on Jesus, because He cares for you, all right? So if you've had this fear, just raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Father God, we cast our care on you. You give us supernatural peace. And you have not given us a spirit of fear, a fear. You have not given us that fear, but you have given us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And right now, by faith, we take your peace in our life. Supernaturally, Father, you just do a work. And we thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory that we are free from fear because of you. Now, as you still say in just this prayer attitude here, probably the best thing that I could ever say is, if you're here today, I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to meet the Savior in a personal way. Now, I didn't say, and I didn't ask if you are religious. I didn't ask if you're a good person. I didn't ask if you're a member of a church. None of those things are going to give you a relationship. None of those things give you a relationship with Jesus and make you right. None of those will get you to heaven. And listen, Jesus did say there is a heaven, and Jesus also said there's a hell. And someday when you die, you're going to go to one or the other, right? So if you're here this morning and you don't know where you stand with God, and you've got this achy fear that you've had forever, and you don't know what would happen if you gave up your last breath, you don't know where you would spend eternity, let me tell you again, church membership is not it. Baptism is not it. Taking communion is not it. None of that will make you have a relationship, will make you a Christian. Only by receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. So if you're here, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. As a matter of fact, the whole church is going to pray with you if you would like to receive the Savior. So if that's you and you'd say, Pastor D, please pray for me. I cannot live another day with this fear of where I would stand and where I would go. Please pray for me. You just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Hallelujah. All right. How about we all say this? And if you raised your hand, or you know you should have raised your hand, we're going to pray this with you. Okay? Ready, everybody? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross to bear my sin. So I open my heart and I invite you in, Lord Jesus. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Thank you for coming into my life. I'm now a child of God. I'm heaven bound. And I can boldly say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. For unto us a child is born, a Savior for the world and for you. Guys, you have a wonderful, blessed Christmas, and you don't even know how big this new year is, all right? Everybody just stay and say hello to one another. And if you have prayed that prayer and you just want to tell me, I have a little packet for you. Come on up front. I'll be up front. Anyway, you're dismissed. Have a great, great, great day. Amen. A little Christmas music, hey, 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 or loud, or...